The sermon tonight comes from Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my father, then he taught me and said to me, Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it, and do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Pray with me. Father, help us now. Bless us now and be glorified. We love you and we thank you for all that you do and all that you are doing. Please move by your Spirit to convict us of our crimes, that we would turn from them and that we would walk with you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Delusions of grandeur. It's a word, it's a little phrase that I picked up a long time ago. Delusions of grandeur. And I never considered myself to have delusions of grandeur. Well, it wasn't too long ago that I ran into some friends from my high school days. And they were actually my neighbors growing up. So we rode the school bus all the time together. We were in grade school together and high school together. And we were talking, and one of the girls, now a woman, she said, "Can't believe you ended up being a preacher." I was taken aback by that. Many people say they're not surprised that I became a preacher. And I asked, "Why is that?" She said, "Because you were bad." And I asked, "What do you mean?" She said, "Oh, you were bad." It was like she couldn't emphasize bad enough. And I said, "No, what?" And she looked to her sister and said, "What about it?" She said, "Oh, you were bad." And the consensus was, the two of them versus me, and the idea was, ta-da, I just found out that I was bad. I thought I was a good kid. I was confident that I was a good kid. I was confident that I stood for righteousness and truth, and I rescued the downcast. I thought I had been a good guy, a solid guy. Now, as we look at our own lives, many times we convince ourselves that we're good, and we convince ourselves that we are upright. We convince ourselves that we walk in truth, and we convince ourselves that we're solid, solid people. We're doing everything that we can to be solid. Well, we look at these scriptures here, and we're given a number of warnings and a number of instructions. And the beautiful side of these warnings and the beautiful side of these instructions are that God says, the path of the righteous is like the dawn or like the light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Now, that's the way I thought of myself. I thought of myself as good. I thought of myself as true. And yet, this testimony about me was that I was bad. Now, this idea of the brightness of the rising sun, I imagine many of you have had the opportunity to see a sunrise. My parents, they love to watch the sunrise when we're on vacation because it comes up over the Atlantic. And my dad likes it particularly when you're looking out and you just start off by seeing a sliver. Just a sliver of the sun there. And then it comes up and he likes to see the full orb. And when it's there like that, you can look directly at it. And it's beautiful. But then as it gets higher, it gets brighter. And it gets brighter. And it gets brighter to where you can't even look at it anymore. The scripture says you, when you embrace these truths, your path will be like the light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Now, I love that will be the reality of my life. I love that when I go to glory, this will have been accomplished. And that's the reality and the truth for you too who trust in Christ. Your light will be like the rising of the sun, and then it will shine brighter and brighter until it comes to the fullness of the noonday. And it's striking to consider this passage in connection where Saul was going down the road and Jesus Christ manifested. Later when he's giving the account, he says that Jesus shone brighter than the noonday sun. And that's that righteousness and that glory that you are brought into and that you are connected to. You will shine brighter than that. Now, as we look at these passages here, we are still given these warnings, and these warnings are striking. That verse, after verse 18, about your brightness shining until the full day, says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Now, that's the other side of it. And you and I are in a place, there's no element of backsliding that the Christian is not capable of. If you consider King David, that he was already anointed king. God had already called David a man after his own heart. And yet David, in that place, in the place as king and representing Christ, even there he was able to fall into adultery. Even there he was able to fall into murder and into deceit and pride. So it's no surprise here that these words come to us with such passion and such conviction and such concern. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. Saying, listen to this, hear this, and your righteousness will indeed shine. But if you don't, you will stumble. You will stumble badly in the darkness. You won't even know what you're falling over. It will be so dark. So the call for you tonight, as we look at the righteousness that you have been given, we look at the righteousness that will be achieved in your life, is to watch for these stumbling blocks. To do everything that it takes to stay away from these shadows. Because just like King David, just like Moses, just like Peter, you and I are capable of any and every violation of God's word, every and any stumbling and falling. Now, as we look at this and we look what it is to live in the light of Christ, and the way to do this and to do it confidently and securely, the first verse here gives us some indication that. Actually, just look at the first two verses. Hear, O sons. the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. As we look at this, and that first move is give attention to the father's instruction. If you're in a place already where you cannot listen to a father who loves Christ, if you cannot heed his warnings and heed his concerns to give yourself to that counsel, you are in a bad spot. You are in that place where you are walking in a shadow. You are in that place where you don't even see the stumbling blocks that are in front of you. Not long ago when I was training and I was running often, I was running up 18 on the other side, and there's that bridge up there. And when I was running across that bridge, it was before dawn, and there was a street light on, and the light was coming across almost horizontal. And I couldn't see the ground whatsoever as I was running. The light in my face, my eyes adjusted to that light, and my eyes couldn't adjust to the ground. And I was literally running with my legs, the whole lower half of my body, in blackness. There could have been anything there. Anything. And I could have fallen. I could have been broken. I could have been undone. To be in a place where we can't heed a godly father's instruction, where we can't listen to the counsel of God given to us, is a deadly place. A deadly place. Now, as we would listen to an earthly father giving us godly counsel, how much more will we listen to our heavenly Father? What he says, and we'll be looking at several things that he's given us here, several instructions that he's given us. Now, he makes a case for why we should listen to him in verse 2. For I give you sound teaching. Sound teaching. What's the idea of something being sound? It's the idea of something being strong. It's the idea of something being steadfast, something that you can trust. There have been many times in my life where I was walking along and I found that I was not in a place that was strong. I was not in a place that was steadfast. The bottom, I couldn't trust it. I've been in abandoned houses where you hear the floor creak under you and you don't know if it's going to fall out from under you. You're going to go crashing down to the next floor and crashing down to the basement. I've walked across frozen lakes and I've heard it crack underneath me. These are dreadful things. These are terrifying things. And here God is saying, if you don't listen to me, you're putting yourself in this place where you are in danger of the very ground falling out from underneath you. He says, but I give you sound teaching. I give you something strong. I give you something that you can cling to. That you can walk securely. That you are safe. That you're not going to be undone. I give you sound teaching. And he says, do not abandon my instruction. Now he's not saying, here's something. Take it or leave it. Or I think this would be a good idea for you. He's saying, take this and don't throw it away. Take this and cling to it. Take this and embrace it. Take this and live it. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. Now, as we move on and move to our second move, in verse 4, he says, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. And this move here is simply let your heart hold fast to God's word. Simply here that you would cling to this truth, that you would see it for what it is. That you would see it as life and that you would be fearful to reject it. As we walk through this life, so often we look and we will take God's command and we'll look at everything else and we'll see how much we could justify. How much we could get away with. How much could be tolerated in our own circles? in my family, tolerated in my house, tolerated in our church. How much can we get away with? And yet God says here, hold fast, let your heart hold fast my words, that they would be your love. They would be your delight. We've talked before about people being in dire situations and grabbing something and clinging to it, thinking that this will save me, that this will rescue me. How often have we grabbed other things and clung to them, this relationship? This will give me joy. This will be my peace. This will be my salvation. And yet, it leaves us empty. And yet, it leaves us damaged. So he says, let your heart hold fast my words. That is with an affection. That is seeing that it is life. That is seeing the sweetness. The sweetness of God's truth. Our third move, acquire wisdom and do not forsake it. Verses 5 through 7. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. This puts it before you as a quest. This puts it before you as a mission. Something that you are striving for, something that you are moving towards, something that you don't stop doing. Acquire wisdom. There, I've acquired it, I've got it, I'm done. No, acquire it. Okay, I've acquired it, I'm done. No, acquired it. Keep going. Keep going back for more. It's like that church dinner where you're absolute favorite dessert is up there that you almost never ever get to have. Mine was my grandma's dish that has strawberries in it and pretzels and all the worst things in the world, cream cheese, and I never get to have that. But when it comes here, I get it. I acquire it. And then I'll take my dessert plate and I'll go sit by someone else and I'll go acquire some more. And then I might come sit by you and then I'll go acquire some more. And no one's the wiser that I've gone back three times to acquire this great dessert. Wisdom. Wisdom is to be that sweetness for you. That understanding, that truth. God's truth is to be that sweetness for us. Because we understand that there is life. There and embracing that, we're not running in shadow, but we're standing and we're shining like the Jesus that saved you. This brings us to our fourth move, which is in verses 8 through 10. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. And that move is simply prize wisdom. And it's demonstrated here that this is a blessing when you get it. It's not as if we run after this thing and we're like, oh great, we've got more wisdom. Oh great, I've got more understanding now. No, it's giving you the idea that this is a beautiful thing and that when you have it, it says it will exalt you. It'll lift you up. It'll demonstrate, and that's because it demonstrates a Christ likeness in you. That shining is a shining like Jesus. Shining like your Savior. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. You want honor? You want to be exalted? Seek this understanding and seek wisdom. Here it even speaks in terms of a beauty. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. You want beauty? You want beauty? You want to look good? Here it's saying that when you come to Christ and you submit yourself to this truth, there's beauty. There's true beauty. There is something eternal and of eternal value in that. The truth here is that you could take someone whose face is arranged in the most peculiar way, that has the worst skin and the worst hair ever, that is in the worst shape ever, and they are more beautiful than the smoothest skin and the most sound body in the room. When they embrace wisdom, when they acquire understanding, there is that beauty that's deeper and more sound and more true than anything physical. That when you embrace this truth, embrace this reality, God looks on you and says, beautiful. Beautiful. Gorgeous. Delightful. I delight in you. And a big part of what we need is to rejoice in what God rejoices in. To rejoice in true beauty and true reality. And that move there is prize wisdom. And she will exalt you. Our next move is for verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. And this is simply accept what God says for life. And it's striking, and it's a bit terrifying that anything else is death. That anything else is shadow. It's not as if God lays it out and says, this is white and good, and this is black and bad, and here's gray. You choose. He lays it out and says, I put before you life, and I put before you death. Now, we may try to walk in gray, and we may try to skip back and forth. I'll tell you, that's like trying to skip back and forth on the railroad tracks from one bar to the other, and it's wet and it's slippery. You'll fall and you'll get busted. But we walk in truth. In truth, we walk in the light of what God says because He says it's life for you. Life for you. Now, we all have the sense, and we know what it's like to drink from the broken cisterns that we've dug for ourselves. That picture there in Jeremiah chapter 2, it is so striking for me. God says, I have two things against you, O Israel. That you have forsaken me, the living God, and you've gone out and you've dug other cisterns for yourself, broken cisterns that won't hold water. Saying we go to those things for satisfaction, we go to those things for joy, and a cistern was a necessary thing for life when you lived in the desert. You had to have this thing, you had to have this water, you had to have this life. And he's saying, look, you've turned away from me who is all life and all depth, and you dug this thing, and this you've dug a thing that's busted. That can't satisfy you, it won't satisfy you, and you will die relying on this broken cistern. Hear, he's saying, hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. This is the pathway of life. Embracing what God says, embracing His wisdom. Now, and this sixth move here, there's a lot to this and a lot for you to take in and think about on here. It says, do not enter the path of the wicked is our move. Verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Verses 15 through 17 then, avoid it and do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. They are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The wicked can be extremely attractive. Extremely attractive. They can have the likeness of godliness and yet lead to shadow and yet lead to death. It can lead you in dark paths. And it says here that they cannot even sleep until they do evil. And we look at people and say, no. No, they're nice. No, they're kind to me. And yet what they drink from and what they have is death. Death. They march on a pathway of death. They march in shadow. And to come alongside them is to walk in death with them, is to threaten your very life, to threaten your very testimony, to threaten what God has done for you, to threaten that truth. Avoid it, their path. Turn from it. Pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. That's true. You need to hear this. You need to hear the reality of this. No matter how nice an unbeliever looks, no matter how kind they are, the reality is they are destruction. They are destruction. They are shadows that will undo you. No matter how sweet they may seem, they are in Satan's family, if they are not in God's family. And to tie yourself to them can destroy you. It'll at least destroy your, break your heart, rent it asunder and undo you. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? And all this is laid out for us as this great warning for us to stay away from shadow and to live in light, to live in truth. And this is set before you now as the very words of God. If you took the time, there are many of us that you could talk to who have dwelt in shadow, who know the miseries of it and know the pains of it. Now I'll ask you, what would you want for your children from this? What would you say to them? How eagerly would you bring this message to them and call upon them to cling to God's word? What would you want to see for them? And if you think on that for just a little bit, think how much more so your Heavenly Father desires this for you. How much more so He desires this light for you, this truth for you. And there it is set before you, life. So I call upon you to live it, to embrace it, and to shine for Jesus Christ's sake in this world, the one who's loved you, the one who saved you. Pray with me. God, our God, we thank you for our great salvation. We thank you for what you have done. God, give us hearts to seek you, hearts to enjoy you, and hearts to embrace you, that you will be glorified in the ways that we live, in the ways that we love. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our last psalm is Psalm 100.